Okay, kidney donation in halacha. We won't make this personal. We'll just get into the kishkes right away. So, what? Okay, so tonight, what I want to talk about, we'll do at least 2 weeks on this because we're not going to get to the to all the questions. Tonight, what I hope to get through is the question that I titled "Why should I give?" which will be very short, and then "Can I give?" which will be longer, and we'll touch on whether or not it's mutar to give or not mutar to give, and then on subsequent nights, hopefully, we'll talk about I guess you'd put it: should I give or do I have to give? And then finally, to whom would I give an organ? Just to make things pashut for now, we're talking specifically about kidney transplants. We could be talking about all kinds of organ transplants. We could be talking about donating blood. We could be talking about donating platelets or bone marrow. Let's just make this simple. We're talking about kidney donation.
We're talking about people who are alive.
Yes, live kidney donation to hopefully live people. Otherwise, the answer is going to be no.
You're not talking about harvesting organs.
What?
Not talking about
harvesting organs after death. That's a separate topic that we could talk about, but not what we're talking about right now.
So why should I give?
Why should I give anything? Why should I try to save somebody's life? Now, it sounds like a pashut question, but the truth is that in most countries in the world, not most, 99% of the countries in the world, there's no law on the books that you have to save people. There are provisos in other laws. For example, in America, the Good Samaritan law says that if you try to save somebody and you make a mistake and you harm them or injure them or kill them, even chas v'shalom, then you're protected by the Good Samaritan law. But it never says anywhere that you're obligated, or at least it doesn't say anywhere that you can be jailed if you fail to save somebody, right? The last episode of Seinfeld, notwithstanding, which was a mistake. And the last episode, hold on. The last episode of Seinfeld, Jerry and his friends were jailed because they videotaped themselves not saving somebody who was being robbed. That would never happen in any American court system. In Vermont and in, I forget, one other state, at least when I checked as recently as about 5 years ago, you can be fined $100 or $200 if you fail to save somebody. If you're just a stranger, if you fail to help somebody, you basically nothing happens to you in most states. If you happen to be a special relationship person, for example, if you're a parent or if you're a doctor. If you're a doctor and you fail to help, then you can be prosecuted, I think, even in America. But if you're just a Stam Joe on the street, nothing can happen to you. Here in Eretz Israel, that's not the case. In Eretz Israel, we have a real Good Samaritan law, the Lo Tamor Adam Riecha law, which we'll learn about right now. So the Torah says, Lo Tamor Adam Riecha, Pasuk Advarim. In Vayikra, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings this down lehalacha. So Gemara says, "Gufa minay." The Mishnah had already said, "Ro'et chaveru shu tovea banar o chayagarato o lustin bayin alav." If you see a friend who is drowning in the river, or an animal is attacking him, or bandits are coming to attack him, shu chayav lahatzilo, that you have to save him. How do you know that you have to save such a person? Tamud Omar, Lo Tamud Adam Riecha. The Torah says, Lo Tamud Adam Riecha, you shall not stand idly by the blood of your friend. Which is a very strange way of phrasing this whole thing, but leave that alone. So that tells you you're not allowed to stand back and do nothing. Now the Gemara, interestingly, does not end there. Most people think the Gemara will end there. There's nothing else to say. The Gemara says, not so fast. V'ha mehacha nafka. Mehatam nafka. David, what does hacha and hata mean? Hacha means, very good. Yes. Hacha means here, hata means there. It's exactly right. Hacha means here, hata means there. It says, do we really learn it from here? Nafka means to take it out or to learn out. Do we really learn it from Lo Tamar Adam Riecha? No, we learn it from another pasuk from over there. Where? Minayin tamalomer v'hashevoto lo. What's v'hashevoto lo? What's the context of v'hashevoto lo? What mitzvah is that?
Something's lost.
Hashavat aveda? It's the mitzvah of Hashavat aveda? How are we supposed to learn it from Hashavat Aveda? So the assumption over here is that if I am standing at the bank of a river and I see a wallet, tzafa al pnei amayim, it's floating on top of a wooden plank, and I see the wallet there, I am obligated to go and grab it and save it from the river and then find its owner. How do we know that I'm obligated? V'hashevoto lo. Now if I'm obligated to save somebody's property, then kal v'chomer, ben kal v'chomer, I'm for sure obligated to save somebody's life.
We're learning halacha from Kal Vachomer?
Yeah. Well, if the point is that Vashevot Olo includes saving somebody's property. So it's obvious that I also have to save the person's. If I see somebody drowning, I definitely have to save him. It would be even more so.
Why does it matter which pasuk I learned from?
Oh, you tell me. Why does it matter which pasuk I learned from? I mentioned first. Don't say amen on the tape. Why does it matter? Positive,
negative.
What do you mean? Oh, I see. Because it's a mitzvah to say, but it's a mitzvah lo tase. Interesting. Okay.
What's the second pasuk?
Vahashevot olo means you shall return it to him, which is the mitzvah of Hashavat Avedah. No. What do you think the Gemara is going to say? A nafkamina. A difference, a practical difference between the two. So Jake said, oh, it's a positive versus a negative, which is interesting. That's not the one that the Gemara seizes upon. The Gemara says, Ime hatam, if from the pasuk of Avashevot olo, hava amina, I would have thought, hani mili benafshe, avamitrachu meger agure emalo, kamashmalan. I would think that I only have to do it if it's a matter of me acting right now with my body. However, if it requires me to spend money, in the case of Hashavat Aveda, if saving somebody's money or returning somebody's money to them requires me to spend my own money, I'm not obligated to do it anymore. If returning a wallet means that I have to pay shipping and handling to Kathmandu to return it to the Israeli living over there, right? I don't have to do that. If he offers to pay the shipping and handling, then great. But I don't have to shell out money in order to return a lost object. So I might think that the same is true if I have to save his life. So if I can't swim, right? So this is what we're going to get into. But let's say I can't swim, or I cannot. Maybe I'm behind the glass wall, so I can't save the guy. But I see that there's someone there, and they're just being lazy. I can offer him money, and he'll go save the guy. Maybe I don't have to do that because I don't have to do that with regards to Hashavat Aveda. So the Gemara says, no. That's why we have an extra pasuk. Lo tamar adam riyacha. You have to go out and you have to spend money to save him. That's what lo tamar adam riyacha means. It adds on an extra category, an extra
chiyuv. Spending money or spending whatever it should be, like spending, making an effort.
Yeah, well, making an effort is required for Hashavat Aveda. Spending money is specifically what the Gemara talks about. Okay. Spending money. Although, we could discuss whether or not that's the only difference, or it's the only difference that the Gemara bothers to mention, and it could have tremendous ramifications. What other differences might we be able to come up with? Or might we expect to happen? Well, I'll give you one example. What?
You can't swim.
If you can't swim,
putting your life on the
line. So you're putting your life on the line. Yeah, but you don't have to put your life on the line for, well, you're saying maybe we would expect that you would have to put your life on the line for, so that's exactly going to be.
You can't swim, then you can't save the person.
Right, so if I can't swim, then I also don't have to save his property. So what's the nafkamina? What's the difference? Unless maybe I do have to put myself in danger. Then it would be a difference. But let's hold off on that for just a minute. Let me just make one theoretical point. I'll give you one example. The Minchat Chinuch thinks that this is the one and only difference. And therefore, if any other case, they're the same. So I'll give you another example. Am I allowed to take my laptop, right, and throw it on the ground and smash it? My own.
Of course.
Yeah? Do you have to stop me from doing it? No, you don't have to stop me from doing it because that's what I decided to do. But what about the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda? Don't you have to protect my property? No, I'm allowed to destroy my own property, right? So what if I decide? What if somebody decides that they want to take their own life?
Yeah, right.
What if somebody decides he wants to jump off of a roof, right? Am I obligated to protect him? To save him, right? This is the Mr. Incredible scenario. Mr. Incredible jumps to save the guy who jumped off a roof, and then in the process injures him, and then the guy sues him for injuring him, right? Even though he was trying to save him.
That's the old Spider-Man thing also.
It was a Spider-Man issue. There was an issue of that in Spider-Man as well, but I decided it to be Mugaven. But in general, the point being, the Minchas Chinuch actually thinks that you don't have to save the person if they're committing suicide, because this is the only difference. Most disagree with this Minchas Chinuch. It's nice in theory, but most disagree and say we won't go that far. But it's important to know whether the Gemara is giving you the one and only case, or whether there may be other cases. How does this fall out in the halakha? Well, Straight up, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this: "Haroas chaveru tovei bayam olistin bayin alav ochayara ba alav viachol hatzilo hu baatzmo oshi yiskor achirim hatzil velo hitzil oshi shamal dikachavim." So, if you have all these situations where a person's in danger and you could do something about it, or you could pay somebody to do something about it, and you fail to, or it says shishamei avdo kachavim olmosir mechashvim alav ra'ah, you hear people plotting against someone and you don't tell the guy, you don't warn the guy. Etc., etc., etc. The end halacha is over a lo tamor adam reyacha. You have violated lo tamor adam reyacha. Okay? So just want
to. That seems to be the pasuk we're relying on.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
But the law in Israel goes, it's relatively new.
The law in Israel, I don't know how old it is.
It's relatively new.
Yeah. And I don't know its full parameters, but it definitely exists and it requires you to do something. I actually do want to address what Jake mentioned, which is the positive versus negative. What's the difference between a lotase and an ase? There are a lot of them.
Difference in punishment.
Okay. In general, ase, you don't have a punishment. And for a lotase, you do. Okay. Any other differences? So we'll get to a very important one. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight. Maybe we'll get to it. No, we'll get to it the next time. We'll get to it the next time. It has to do with how far you have to go in order to avoid or to do a mitzvah asay or a mitzvah lot asay. But that's why you should give. In other words, if we were just saying this, so we would say, okay, kidney donations, of course I should do it. I have the opportunity to save somebody's life. Is there any reason why this might not apply to kidney donation? Why kidney, if I say, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if I fail to do something like this, if I fail to save somebody's life, I'm violating a lot tamar adam reyach, I'm violating a lot asay. So does that mean, without going to the next part of the shiur, does that mean that if I
don't
donate a kidney, that I'm violating lo tamar adam reyacha? Now, we'll revisit this again in the next year, hopefully. But for now, based on what we've seen so far,
yes,
isn't that the conclusion that we would reach?
Yeah, maybe here, maybe because donating a kidney involves putting your life, not at risk, but you're doing some sort of procedure that might put you in risk later.
Okay, you're saying your mitigating factor is...
You need your kidneys, that's why you have two of them. If you're taking out one of them, so you'll need it later in life, so you won't have it.
Okay, so you're saying mitigating factor might be that, all right, Beseder, I don't have to shell out money for it. Actually, Bituach Lumi pays for everything, right? Right? Bituach Lumi pays for everything. Well, we can ask, we can find out. And if you do it, so you don't have to worry about paying money. But there is a lot of suffering and pain involved, and maybe in that situation, you don't have to worry about a lo tase. Is there any other reason why we might say that it's not, you know, a black and white obligation? That's a good point. There's no guarantee that you're going to be saving the person. Yes. That's a good point. There's no guarantee.
The guy's not an immediate risk.
Let's say there is an immediate recipient that needs kidney. I don't know. You're right. He wouldn't be, you know, necessarily right now, but okay. But he needs it. You're saving his life. But what about the fact that you don't know the guy? I mean, he's not in front of you right now. It's not like you're standing at the river.
You don't know the guy you're going to save. He's drowning.
You're right, and I don't have to go looking for him, right? Okay. Nobody ever said that I have to go scouring every beach to find people who are drowning. Nobody ever said that.
It's like going out of your way to look for something, to look for somebody that's drowning.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's another point to be made. Okay.
I think usually kidney donations are done family or relatives or whatever.
It is often, but not always. There's altruistic kidney donation where people just give, and then it goes to, and then there are different organizations that you can give through, and then it goes to whoever needs it. Okay, how about can I give? Why might I not be able to give? Okay, so we'll start with the Gemara in Bava Metzia that I'm sure everybody here knows. Shnayim shehu mahalchin baderech. Two people were walking on a road. In a desert, let's say, mehen kiton shomayim. One of them had a nice bottle of Ein Gedi, and he was fine. Im shoten shneim metim, v'im shoten echad mehen magia liyishuv. And the fact was, they only had enough for one. If they split it, they'll both die. If one of them, the owner of the bottle, keeps it and drinks it himself, he'll survive, and the other one will die. Darash ben Petura, mutav sheyish tushneim v'amutu v'al yira echad mehem b'mitato shel chaveiro. It's better for them to split it, and the owner should not see that the other person dies because he's not willing to give him any water. What is Ben Petura based on, just before we continue to Rabbi Kiva's more famous statement? Does it remind us of anything? Like, does the scene at all remind us of anything that maybe that we saw in Chumash recently? Semi-recently, a couple of months ago? Hagar and Yishmael, right? A little bit reminds us of that. Yeah. Hagar and Yishmael, they ran out of money. They ran out of water. They ran out of water and they were starving. A little bit reminds us of that. Ben Petura seems to be, you know, he's appalled by the whole scene. Like, how could you? Okay. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva v'limeid. This is very interesting language, by the way. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva. It's not like machloket Ben Petura Rabbi Akiva. This was right. Ben Petura was accepted. Ben Petura was accepted until Rabbi Akiva came along and said, V'chei achicha imach, chayecha kod min l'chayecha vercha. Your brother should live with you, which means that you precede your brother's life. If it's a toss-up between you and your brother, you go first. This is the same Rabbi Akiva, of course, who said, he didn't say v'haftal v'echa kamocha, that was God. But he did say zeklal gadol b'torah, that this is something very, very important. Right? So he says, chayecha kodmin, your life goes first. So a toss-up between you and someone else's life, you go first. Now, this doesn't mean that you can steal the guy's water bottle. The guy who owns the water bottle has a right to the water bottle. So he's the one who gets to drink it.
You go first, and you drink the water first.
You keep your water bottle and you drink it, and the other guy.
And watch the other guy die.
Yes. Well, what's the other option? You both die. And the other option is you give him the water, right? So that's where Rabbi Akiva seems to be responding to. Also.
Ben Petura was not a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, right?
I honestly don't know. Much later? I can't say. I don't know.
Because this is Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva. Sounds like. Rabbi Akiva came much later.
Yeah. I don't know how many statements from Ben Petura that we have.
Sorry.
Now, so what does this mean, though? So this means that you have to take care of your life, right? You have to take care of your life. Shulchan Aruch says, we have three things that we give up our lives for. Three averos that are Yeharig Ve'al Yavor, Yilei Arayot, Shvichos Damim, and Avodah Zarah. What about the rest of them? What if I decide, right, ain't going to work on Saturday, ain't going to work on Saturday, and the guy puts his gun to my head, and I say, ain't going to work on Saturday. Did I do the right thing? I let him shoot me. Did I do the right thing? No. Shulchan Aruch says, kol ha'over ha'dvarim elu v'kayotze bem, meaning the 610 other mitzvos, ha'reini v'amar ha'reini v'sakin b'atzmi u'mala acherim alai b'kach, o, eini makbid b'kach, makin oto makin mardut, v'anizor mehem alav tovo b'yachat tov. Anybody who puts himself in danger for something that he's not supposed to put himself in danger for, he gets makot. He gets punished. He did the wrong thing. It's the wrong thing to do. Okay? Now, are we sure that this is everything that we're saying is right? Are we using doing the best analysis over here? So here's another Gemara, less quoted. Haneo bnei glila, denafak aleo kalak dekato nash. You know, we'll just read this in English because there's so much over here. The Gemara cites examples of people who are concerned about malicious speech. This is the Gemara about Lashon Hara. There were those, it's really about Mesira, about... telling on people to the authorities such that the authorities will come and get them. There were those people of Galilee about whom a rumor emerged that they had killed someone. So you have a whole city that the rumor came that one of them had killed somebody. They came before Rabbi Tarfon and said to him, will the master hide us? So these people of Galilee showed up in Rabbi Kiva's door and asked for refuge. Rabbi Tarfon said to them, what should we do? If I don't hide you, your pursuers will see you and kill you if I leave you out here. If I do hide you, this too is problematic. As didn't the rabbi say with regard to this prohibition against listening to malicious speech, even though one should not accept the malicious speech as true, one is required to be concerned about the harm that might result from ignoring it. Therefore, you must go and hide yourselves. He basically turns them away. He says, I'm not going to do anything for you. Right?
He basically says
that I think that you guys might actually be guilty. So I shouldn't really hide you because you guys really deserve to be killed. So I'm not going to protect you. This will come up later. The Netziv is going to quote this later, this Gemara, and how it's interesting to us. But let's step back and return to the question of putting ourselves in danger.
I put myself in danger.
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Yeah. If he hides me? Right. Now...
Wait. If he hides me, he himself is in danger because the authorities will come after him? Is that right. What the thing is?
Right.
If I give refuge to the criminal... I will be charged. And
right, but it seems like he's saying that. It seems like he's saying that if he did not suspect them, right? It sounds like the way he's saying, if he did not suspect them, then he would protect them and he would put himself in danger. That's what it sounds like. But we'll get back to this later.
Hiding a killer,
no, he's not worried about that. But let's get back to it later with an Asif.
Can I just give out the thing about someone putting the gun to your head and saying, "Break Shabbos"?
Right.
You said you shouldn't put yourself in danger.
Right.
But you're not putting yourself in danger. Somebody else has threatened you.
That's putting yourself in danger. Somebody's threatening to kill you if you don't break Shabbos.
Oh, I see. So you're not, it doesn't mean you're
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Now we're going to see probably the most important source that we're going to see tonight, most often quoted whenever discussing organ donation. Okay, this is the Radbaz of David Ben Zimri. I don't know what year, 13th, 14th, 15th century, I'm not sure. Somebody could look it up, maybe. The Radbaz writes as follows. Sha'alta mimeni, odiacha da'ati. We're going to see two Radbazes. Alma sharita katuv im amar hashilton liYisrael, hanachli lekatetz ever echad she'en chameit mimenu, o amit Yisrael chavercha. You know, ma'isim v'kol yom, basically, a Jew was told by an oppressor, if you don't let me cut off your finger, then I'm going to kill your Jewish friend. It's Mikol Yom. All right. What does he do? Let him cut off your finger or let him kill your friend. What should you do?
Take your finger.
Let him cut off your finger.
I mean, say it
already. So, yesh omrim shechayav lahaniach mate. Look, it's not going to kill you. V'haraya amidamina bo'vadazar chash be'inav mutter l'koch le'b'shabbos. The Gemara says that if you have an eye pain on Shabbos, then you're allowed to do something for it, even if it's just a pain. But the Gemara explains and says because eye pains can be very dangerous. But if it would be another Aver, it would be something else, so then you wouldn't do anything about it, which means that it's not so dangerous. Any other Aver, it's not so dangerous, so you don't have to be worried. So he cuts off your finger. Okay, he cuts off your finger. Basically, so you want to say, the Rabbis are saying, you want to tell me that if I have to be willing to give up my finger for Shabbos, that's what he's basically saying. That's what he gleans from the Gemara. I don't have to give up my eye for Shabbos because that could be really dangerous. I could die. But I do have to give up my finger. So if I have to give my finger for Shabbos, then I for sure have to give up my finger to save somebody else's life. That's the logic. So what does he say? Tshuva. Zu midat chasidut. To give up your finger, that would be midat chasidut. What's midat chasidut?
Beyond the law.
Means it's certainly mutter. And it's encouraged. But it's not required. Aval ladin yesh tshuva. But in terms of the din, I have another answer. Ma'ala sakanat ever de Shabbat, shekein ones, de'ate mishmaya, l'fichach ein sakanat ever docha Shabbat, aval she'avihu ones alav, mibnei chaver, lo shamanu. It's one thing to say that if something is about to happen to my finger, I have to be sheva al tase on Shabbos. If it requires chilul Shabbat to save my finger, so I have to be sheva al tase, I have to do nothing. Because it's happening anyways. In other words, mishamayim it's happening. I'm not putting my finger in danger. It's in danger. But it's another thing to say that I'm going to be required to basically cut off my own finger to save somebody else. That I have to go out and actively do that. That's not obvious that I have to do that. Okay? So for example, if somebody says, break Shabbos or I'm going to cut off your finger. Do I have to cut off my finger? Do I have to let him cut off my finger? Yeah. Not necessarily. No, not necessarily.
Not
necessarily. V'tu, dilma idechatichat ever afu bishen haneshama tuluya bo shemayatzam imenu dam harbevi amut. Also, I don't know if it's a finger. It could be anything. It could be a leg, right? Yeah. But basically he says, you never know. Person's cutting off a limb. He's cutting off a part of your body. Stomach, the kind of person who cuts off the part of your body is not a surgeon. He's not a doctor. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't really care. He may cut it in a certain way such that you're going to bleed profusely and you'll bleed out, chas v'shalom, and you may actually really go into danger. So there's no such thing as just doing a non-dangerous amputation of a part of the body. It doesn't exist. And therefore, that means you're really in danger. And who said that his blood is redder than yours, right? We know that I can't say that my blood is redder than his, but who says that his blood is redder than mine? Mm-hmm. Maybe your blood is redder. And now he gets graphic. Then I once saw that a person, they cut his ear. It doesn't sound like they cut it off. It sounds like they cut it several times.
Bloodletting in those days.
Bloodletting was with leeches, though.
But they did that. They used to take blood out to make people get better.
All right. I don't know if the ear was the best place to do it, but so they did it to the ear. I don't know. It sounds like Van Gogh. I wonder if this is contemporaneous. So they did that, and the guy died. The guy died because who knew how much ears bleed? I don't know. So he says, you never know. But two, okay, now he continues. But let's jump down to the underlying part. Teida, desekanat ever chamira. Tahatiru l'chalel alayat ha-shabbat b'kol melachot shehem edivrayim afilo al yidei Yisrael. Fact is that while it's true that if your limb is in danger on Shabbos, you can't do a mitzvah, you can't do an avera midaraita. You can't be mechal Shabbat midaraita. But you can be mechal Shabbat midarabanan. Even a Jew can do it for you. Okay? Vitu, dichtiv darchei darchei noam. Darchei darchei noam, it says about the Torah. V'tzarech shemishpitei torteinu yu maskimim al haseichel v'hasvara ve'eich yaleh al da'teinu shi'aniach adam l'samet eino o lachtoch et yado o raglo kedei sh'lo yamitu et chavero. He finds it unreasonable and impossible that the Torah would require you to give up a leg or a hand or a tongue or anything
to save
somebody else. He finds that not drachei adarchei noam. It's interesting. He should invoke such a thing. It's not the only time when people invoke drachei adarchei noam, which is a pasuk in Mishlei. It's not
What's the main basis of
drachei? Torah's ways are nice and peaceful and drachei adarchei noam v'chol nitivotei shalom. Right? It should be morally pleasing, right? In other words, people should look at the Torah and say, "Wow, that's really right." And he thinks that this is not that this is horrific. Okay. But that's not his only argument. Really, the reason why the Radbaz quotes it is Hilkach. At the end of the day, he says, if you're talking about the cutting of a limb, which is really not dangerous, a finger, okay, so then it's midat chasidut. That's up to you. Torah doesn't require it because derechei adarchei noam, Torah's never going to require that. If you're willing to do it, kol hakavod. However, if you're talking about anything more than that, anything which will actually cause a sakana to you, then in that case, it's not midat chasidut, you're a chasid shoteh. You're a crazy chassid, which means it's asur. It means that you're doing the wrong thing. You're violating chayecha kodmin, because you're now in a case of suffix. And by the way, notice that he's only talking about suffix. He doesn't talk about actually killing yourself, which he obviously would be against. But he's saying even putting yourself into a suffix, that is enough that the Torah for sure doesn't require it and even forbids you from doing it. Now what's the shir? So the second Radbaz is what people quote as well. It's a longer one that I didn't even put all of it on. We'll just read some of the underlying parts. If you can save the person, when it's talking about it's a mitzvah to save the person, you know, to save him from the river, or to save him from listim, or to save him from an animal, that's when you're not putting yourself in danger. When it's a matter of sticking out, you know, a pole, or throwing him a life vest, right? But if you're talking about jumping into the riptide with the guy,
and you're going to die anyway.
Even if you're a lifeguard. So he says, that's not going to be required. That's dangerous. You're not going to have. You don't have to do that. Velozu bilvad. The next underlined part. Elafilu yesh bo tzad safik sakana kegon ra'a oto tovea bayam o listen bayam alav o chayav ra'a sheyesh mekol ilu safik sakana. Afilu achi chayav lahatzil v'afilu shelo haya yachol lahatzil begufo lo niftar bishvil kach ela chayav lahatzil b'ma'ano. You spend your money on it, but you don't have to do it with your own body. Jump to the last part. Actually, the whole paragraph, the last half paragraph. As we've said a few times, you have to spend money, but you don't have to put yourself in the danger. Interesting. He says, but to save... he says, to put yourself... Actually, over here, he contradicts himself. He says... If you're saving the person's life, or you're saving him from doing something, from doing a rayot, so in those cases, you have to put yourself into safek sakana. So what happened? He just said you don't have to put yourself into safek sakana. So take a look. So this is where he clarifies. Mikol makom, im asafek note el havadai, eno chayav limsar atzmo lahatzil el chavero, v'afilu besafek muchra, eno chayav limsar nafsho. The may chazit de damid idach sumak tvei. What did he just say? He said, if the safek is 50% or higher, you have no obligation to do it at all. Dilma dama de day sumak tvei. Aval ima safik eno buchra elanote al hatzala v'lo yistaken v'lo yitzil avar alo tamal adam reyacha. But anything less than 50%?
50% what? Are you going
to... That you're going to die. It's note al hatzala. It's more likely that you're going to survive. Avar alo tamal adam reyacha. So,
you have to do it.
If the odds are in your favor.
It sounds like if you have the opportunity to do it and you don't, you're over on Lotam and Adam Riacha. Now, I made things simple. I said 50%. Not everybody agrees that it's 50%, but it sounds like it because he says if it's Shakul, Mukhra, I know, but he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, that's the simplest reading. Some people don't say that that's what it means, but they give it a different threshold. But it does sound like what it means. But according to the Radbaz, though, for sure, putting yourself, killing yourself or somebody else, out of the question. Chasid Shote. Putting yourself into a suffix sakana, it's a little bit unclear between these two different tshuvot. Giving up a limb that won't put you in danger, midat chasidut. Not required, but it's a nice thing. Putting yourself into mamesh suffix sakana, so between the two tshuvas is a little bit of tension. One of them seems to say, you shouldn't do it at all. Your chasid shota, and the other one seems to say that if it's anything less than 50%, that you have to do it. Interesting. Okay, how do things fall out? So before we see the Shulchan Aruch, so the Beit Yosef of Yosef Karo quotes one dissenting opinion. He quotes the Hagot Maimonides, which is a commentary on the Rambam, who quotes a Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi seems to say that even to put yourself into a suffix sakana, you're chayav. The Yerushalmi seems to say that you're chayav to put yourself into a suffix sakana, that there's no heter. Just because you're going to be in danger. In Achinami, if you're going to for sure die, then you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to. If you're for sure going to die, then you don't have to do it. But Safek, you do have to do.
And there's no percentage.
It doesn't give any percentage at all. Just says, as long as the other Vadai and you're a Safek, you have to jump in. You have to go do something. Now, how does it fall out, Lahalacha? I'll skip the Shach for tonight. And... did I not put the Shulchan Aruch in here? Was it out of order? What happened? Skipped it? Left it off. Shulchan Aruch Reshin and Zayin. I seem to have left it off. Kuf and Zayin, rather. Maybe I'll read it. I'll read it here from Safariah if I can find it quickly. Because it's important, because the Beit Yosef quotes the Agos Maimonios, so you might think that that's how he paskins. But he doesn't. Not Kabbalah, Halacha. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya. It's actually the last, I think it's the last Seif. No, it's not. It's not the last Seif. Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya. Oh, am I going to have trouble getting this now? It's got to be Shulchan Aruch in this room, right? Shulchan Aruch. Jake, is that the Shulchan Aruch over there in orange or no? That's a Mishnah Berurah. Oh, right there. Yeah, Dave, can you get me the Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya? This Are there two Yordas? It might be that one. Or it might be the other one. Oh, actually, hold on. I think I have it. I'll read it from there. You brought it to me. Let's see. Kuf Mem Zayin. It's in this one. Kuf Nun Zion. Kol Avirot Shebatorah. Chutz mi'avodat kol chachvim megigul areot shichudamim im omrim lo la'adam shi'avor alem o yahareg. This is what we talked about before, actually. This is might not be the one that I meant. Hold on. I know why it's not here. Because it's part of the next year. Okay. Basically, Shulchan Aruch paskens, like the Rambam and most others, that you don't put your life on the line for these things. And he doesn't accept the Agot Mamoni, he doesn't accept the Yerushalmi, he says that you don't put your life in danger even for others. Let's get this for now. Let's get down to brass tacks and talk about our actual sugya. If you turn the page to page 3, so we're bringing this into the 20th century, the Shut Minchas Yitzchak. Yeah, Dave, you know what the Minchas Yitzchak was? No. Diane Weiss. Yitzchak Weiss. Munkacher. He started out in England. Then he made his way over to the Eda Charedis here in Eretz Israel. He was the head of the Eda Charedis for a while. And he talks directly about kidney donations. So this is just to give you a little bit of dating. We're going to have to move quicker. This is from the 50s, I believe, the 1950s. Says Aldevar Shadibarnu Benogel Hamtzah Tarofim B'Meshem Arkivim Kalia Me'Adam Bari. They take a kidney from a live person. What? It's on there. It's page 3. V'Adam Echad Shekuliyato Nitkalkala. So you have one person whose kidney is messed up, and the other person's kidney is good, and you want to move one to the other. Imutul Adam Bari LaHaniach Litol Kuliya Echad Mishalo B'Shvil Rufat Chaviro. And he compares it to the case of putting yourself into danger in order to save somebody else. That's what I mentioned to you before. They all left that out. Basically says, the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says that you're not allowed to put yourself into Safik Sakana in order to save somebody else. That's the tshuva that we read from the Radbaz. So he quotes the first truth of the Radbaz, where he says that if there's no sakana, then you could do it. But if there is sakana, then you cannot do it. You're a chassid shota. There's a danger in the surgery itself. There's anesthesia, there's just the process of the surgery. Plus, now you've only got one kidney left. What happens if you need the other kidney and something happens? And this whole business about whether or not you're allowed to put yourself into a suffix sakana in order to save somebody who's for sure in sakana, that also means that by making the attempt, you're going to for sure save him. Where you're absolutely certain that you putting yourself into danger is going to lead to his vadai being saved. That's what he argues. He says, I have to be a little bit more clear about this. I just wanted to point out what I'm thinking, my initial thoughts. Basically, he's understood as being machmir and saying you're not allowed to give a kidney. Who else says this? So the Tzitz Eliezer. You've heard of the Tzitz Eliezer? Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, he died about 15 years ago. He was actually the chief rabbi of Shari Tzedek for a while. So, you know, he wrote a lot of, we have his tshuvas over there, set over there, Tzitz Eliezer, wrote a ton of tshuvas, many of them about medical issues. He was no lightweight. He also goes along those lines. I brought a lot of the tshuva. His tshuvas are also extremely long. Extremely long. So, you know, it looks like it's long here. This is not even a third of the tshuva. Okay? So we'll just read the underlined part because we don't have time to read everything else. Zo Torah Ta'olah. This is a fancy way of saying this is the halacha. If there's any danger, it's asur to give an aver. Also, the doctor's doing something wrong. The doctor's also at fault. He's a murderer. And it says if there's no danger, then there's still no requirement on anybody to donate anything. Everybody's going with the right bus, right? Everybody's quoting the right bus. Last paragraph. What the doctors have told me so far. It rises to the level of safek sakana to take a kidney from a person. Should not donate a kidney, and a doctor shouldn't take it. Unless you have a team of expert doctors who say, this guy will be fine. That's what he requires. Now, once again, this is also 1950s, 1960s. So, good. So, we'll talk about that. Hopefully, it'll be the last thing that we talk about. What happens if something goes wrong with his remaining kidney? They didn't have that at that time. They definitely didn't have that at the time. So, jump forward to the next page. And what we have is, first of all, the Chavadad. The Chavadad is Rav Adi Yosef. He quotes his colleagues, Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, the Minchas Yisrael that we just quoted. He quotes his good friend, that they corresponded together, they talked to each other in tshuvas, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg. And then he says in the bold underlined part, Ulam, be'emet shenimsar lanu mipi rofim mumchim va'irei shamayim, shedargat ha-sikun behotzat ha-kiliya la'adam ha-toreim, hi mu'etet mod. Rav Avadia says, the danger that the person gets into is very small. 99% of the donors we're interested in, return to their original state of health. Everything they had just said, that's only when it's a real suffix. It's a mitzvah! It's a mitzvah to save somebody. He seems to be going on beyond midat chasidut. I'm not sure if he is saying that you're required, but he's saying there's definitely a mitzvah. V'lachein yireh she'ikar halacha she'mutter v'gam mitzvah. It's mutter and it's a mitzvah. Rav Moshe Feinstein. V'nireh she'atam u'mishum d'lo tamar adam reyacha hu kekol halavin she'mukhuyav lo tzikol mamono kedei shelo lavor alav. You have to give up, I'm jumping the gun over here, you have to give up all your money for a lav. Jake, this is the answer to the question there before. The difference between a mitzvah taseh and a mitzvah lo taseh, hopefully we'll turn to this next time. One of the major differences is that for a mitzvah taseh, right? Let's say I only have $10 to my name. I have $10 to my name, and that's all I have, okay? And it's Erev Sukkot, and I go to the Yad HaBanim, and they're asking me, They're asking me for 7 shekel for an etrog, and I've only got 10 shekel to my name. That's all I have. Do I have to buy the shekel? Do I have to buy the etrog? Yeah. No, I don't have to buy an etrog.
It's an
assay. Why? Because no, it's an assay. It's an assay, and I don't have to spend more than a fifth. I don't have to spend more than a fifth in order to be mekayim a mitzvah asay. However, if I have in front of me Okay, I have in front of me. How can I make this a good example? I have in front of me. I have in front of me. I'm starving. I have in front of me a cheeseburger that costs $2, and then I have a regular burger, kosher Mahajan burger that costs $10, and all I have to my name is $10. I have to spend all of my money in order to avoid violating a mitzvah lo tase. Okay? So that's a major difference between an ase and a lo tase. Now, he continues, the Rav Moshe, and says, Ein l'chayev la'adam l'ikanei specific sakana l'hatzelat chavirao b'vadei sakana. Da'ali na'atel me'averet kol alavin vadei lo rak she'enu tzarech ala shegam asur. He says, you're not allowed to put yourself in the specific sakana. Aval l'hatzel nefesh chavirao av shegam kenu rak b'yisr lav yemutar l'achnis atzmo b'safik mi'acher da'akol ponim yutzal nefesh mi'yisrael. Hold on one second. Right. So in the end, he concludes, though, if you go to the end, the underlying part, Alma deshavin ledin zeh nefesh shelo v'shel chavero, u'mimeila shayach lahatir safik nefesh shelo b'shvil vaday nefesh chavero. At the end of the day, you can be matir, he's matir, putting yourself, your nefesh b'safik, sakana, in order to save somebody who is in vaday sakana. Aval inin v'chayev v'kanes safik sakana, Kevish al kapanim urak bedin lav ein lachmir otar miyashar lavin lamashe biay to betam radbats. That basically says like the radbats to require you no, but to allow you yes. Finally, the last source we'll see is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he says that the danger of donating a kidney is so far, is so small that it's vaday mutter to do it, and there's a mitzvah rabbah of hatzalat nefashot. So it's definitely mutter to do it. Now the difference between these poskim is basically time. Okay, Rav Weiss and the Tzitzel Eliezer were writing in a time when they were told by the doctors that it was very dangerous. But nowadays it's not nearly as dangerous. And in fact, how not dangerous it is it? So there are all kinds of statistics out there. These are just some statistics that I read. I can't verify them, obviously, and I'm not qualified to verify them. I heard them. I read them. But basically. I read that the mortality rate after a year for somebody on dialysis is something like 22%, versus after he gets a kidney, it becomes 6%, and if it's from a live recipient, it becomes 2%, which is crazy. It sounds too much of a difference to me, but that's amazing. What? From a live donor. Yeah, I don't know why I said live recipient. That was weird. From a live donor. It will be 2%. That seems way too low to me, but okay, fine. Versus for the donor, what's the danger? 0.03% of something happened to him during the surgery. And even afterwards, mortality. And there's no, ultimately, no long-term side effects towards giving a kidney, besides the fact that you've lost the kidney. Afterwards, obviously, it takes time to recover, right? That's in a sense, it's a dangerous time because you have to watch yourself, but the suffering itself is not dangerous per se in terms of life threateningness.
So you're under the impression that these earlier postmen might have had a different opinion.
Yeah.
Today,
almost definitely, almost definitely. You'll notice, by the way, one thing that doesn't come up. Which, from some conversations with people that I've had, since the topic has started to grow interesting to people, is some people believe that, no, there's a Jewish concept. You can't give up your organs. They're not yours to give. Right? They're not yours to give. You need them. You should be buried with them, etc., etc. That is, as far as I can tell, a largely Christian notion. It's not a Jewish notion. It's true that organ donation after death is not a simple thing. And in fact, it's asur to donate an organ unless it's for an imminent life-threatening purpose. Stam donating organ, you know, after death, not okay. But that's a kavod hames issue. You have to have respect for the dead. It has nothing to do with some kind of quasi-mystical idea that, you know, you need to be buried with your body parts or anything like that, or that they have to be there when you get taken out or anything like that. That no posuk brings anything like that up. The closest I saw to a notion like this was, I did hear, I didn't see it inside, I heard it quoted, I can't remember who said it, that specifically donating the kidney is not a good idea because, oh, I know who it was, it was the Ibn Ezra. Because the kilya in medieval thought is very much associated, and in Mishle, really, is associated with wisdom, which is something I never understood. I still don't understand it. Similar to the way that we see the heart as being the seat of emotions, even though we know that the heart has no emotions, it's all in the brain. So, but it's often used as a metaphor, certainly in Tanakh and also in modern literature, it's used as a metaphor for emotions. So the kidneys were used always as a metaphor for wisdom. So the Ibn Ezra says, you know, you lose your kidney, you lose wisdom, but you don't see that in the posuk. It doesn't reflect anywhere that that's a relevant consideration. Jake, do you want anything? Add anything to this, or you want to save it till next time?
I don't have much. I mean, you're giving a halakha background. I just was going to say that from a risk point of view, you have to be, in this process, you have to quote them the statistics to show that you are
right.
Informed consent.
Right.
So there, you have to have digested the facts.
So what did they tell you?
It's 1 in 3,000
right.
That you would die.
That's 0.03.
Uh-huh. And then there's, so in Israel, it's where we haven't had any. And the...
No deaths.
That's the number. And uh-huh. There are potential things that they try to screen for. So they try and get you out of the process because of all the screening. So any... Suffix, they try and get you out.
Because if something would happen to you,
then it would be bad PR. And it would also...
No, bad PR for other people donating.
So then, and yeah. There's another. And then there's the, you know, the statistics are that after 5 years, you know, half don't come out. So if you're on dialysis, it's like, so it is, and the lists here are such that they have 95% take rate on the other side.
What does that mean?
95% what?
That the recipient will benefit. Because well, that's the list. They call the list that you actually don't get on the list until you're severe.
Uh-huh.
And you can't stay on the list if you're so severe.
Oh.
So your contribution, at a certain point, you can't be on the list.
Okay.
Because you're not going to make good of it.
So that also improves the statistics.
And so the list is artificially low because right. Many more people need it.
Right.
And to your comment about many people, if you go on dialysis, you cannot take from a dead person. You cannot take from a dead person because it doesn't have all the functioning of a life.
Right. A live donor is much better than a...
I don't know if this is...
Well, you can never donate from a organs if the heart has stopped beating.
You can, but it's not as effective. That's what I found, is that the statistics for a live donor versus a non-live donor is different.
He's been on the table for hours and hours.
You've got a few hours.
And the other comment is that they always quote the statistic that those who give have a longer life expectancy.
Which could be...
Of course,
there could be other...
Right. They won't let you give unless you have
right.
No genetic disposition for A, B, C.
Right, because they're healthier. Those so people are healthier anyways.
They love to...
Right. You don't eat... You don't, you know, you don't sit around... You don't smoke, and you don't sit around eating cheeseburgers all day. Yeah. Right. Makes sense.
Is there any difference between... the question has been asked if the recipient is a Jewish or non-Jewish?
That's a great question. Let's save it for next time. In terms of who you should give to. It's a great question.
Stay tuned.
Also, next time I want to talk about whether this means you have to give, right? We talked about, or why, if you don't have to give, why don't you have to give? Which we started talking about, but I think they go hand in hand.
Stay tuned. Same time next week.
Hopefully. We'll see. All right. Shkoyach, everybody. Have a good night.